Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. We'd like to welcome you back. It's been a few weeks since you've heard from us. But first things first, let's introduce my right-hand man, my co-host, the former stunt driver for Burt Reynolds, Lee Tonin. How you doing today, Lee?
Look out for that tree. The former stunt driver for Burt Reynolds. Reynolds didn't need no stunt driver.
I don't know
do
about
his own
that.
Stunts. He was a bad mofo.
Yeah, he was.
Good to be back in the studio. It's been, what, about 3 weeks now?
Something like that. It's been a while.
Man, it's been a while. We've been off goofing off, man.
Yeah, we've been actually busy. We went to Vegas and we've done all kinds of things.
Our private lives.
Yeah, that people don't know about. So
the stuff that goes on behind the scenes.
Exactly. So anyways, we've been gone too long, man. And I got to say, it's a lot of crazy things have been going on. The whole coronavirus pandemic stuff and
absolutely.
All that.
Absolutely. Everybody getting their shots and everybody. And
that's a good thing.
I got
getting
mine.
Vaccines
I got
and stuff.
Mine.
Yeah,
I'm vaccinated.
Okay, good. Yeah, you got your shots done.
I got one of them done now. And I go back in mid-April to get my second one done. Okay. I wanted to get the single shot one, but they're not very plentiful here in Arizona yet. So
yeah, exactly.
But man, it's seamless. Just a word of advice: if you just public service announcements on public service announcement from Lee Tonin on the coronavirus shot.
Yeah.
Don't drink after you get it. I made the mistake of going out and having a few beers after I got my shot, and I'll tell you what, the next day I felt like I got hit by a bus, man.
You know, I've heard that from a couple different people. So
yeah, and they tell you not to do it.
Believe
and I did it anyways. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. But everybody, I'm not vaccinated yet, but obviously I'm only 28 years old. So, anyways. I probably, probably should be the last one to get it.
Well, it's open to everybody. Just another public service announcement. It's open to everybody in Arizona now, so go get your shots.
Whether or not you want to get it, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we don't touch on that sort of thing on the show, but anyways.
Freedom of choice.
Check this out. It's been a while. Let's get right into the funny or odd news segment. We got some good stories with us today. Oh, but first things first, people don't really see us because this is a podcast and we don't really do video.
Too much.
Yeah, exactly. At least of us in doing the actual show. Lee's mic broke today, so he's actually sitting across the room from me, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of reminiscent of my terrestrial radio days. You're kind of across the table from me.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, right? It is kind of weird. Now that you say something.
Well, you get yourself into a habit. Before, I was able to lean my leg up against the pole on the table.
Yeah, now you're in a different seating position.
And now I don't have anything, and I'm kind of twitchy. I like move around a lot, so you can't really do that because you create extra noise, and it gets picked up on the mic, so
yeah,
you'll be talking,
and
it's like, sensitive. Clunk, clunk, clunk. So now I'm trying to figure out what to do with myself, as far as my feet and my hands go. So, but I'll get used to it.
All right, let's get right into it here. This story headline reads, "Boat blocks lanes of Florida highway for several hours." Now, hey, it's kind of like that boat.
I was going to say there's some boat blocking boat blocking going on in the world.
Billions of dollars.
Yeah, hey, where's my shit from China?
It is crazy, and the crazy part to that one that we're talking about, the big mega
in the Suez Canal.
Yeah, that one. What's crazy is they have like a little excavator, Caterpillar excavator down there. It's only one. There's just one down there trying to dig this thing out. It's like, send this guy reinforcements immediately.
Well, I don't know what you do in that situation. I mean, that excavator is not a small excavator. It's a really big ship.
Exactly. Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
And it's yeah, I felt kind of, they're kind of like, hey, Charlie, get out there.
Do your best.
Like, what do you want me to do?
All right. Well, back to the story. So on March 26th here, authorities in Florida said lanes of traffic on a busy highway were blocked for several hours when a 40-foot boat fell off a trailer.
Oh, Jesus.
So the Florida Highway Patrol said the boat fell from a trailer on Interstate 10 in Crestview near mile marker 56 just after 7 o'clock at night on Thursday. The vessel ended up sideways across lanes of traffic, causing hours-long delays. There were no injuries, though, which is a good thing. That's always good. So, and the boat was removed by the scene by Florida Highway Patrol.
Oh, what a drag.
So I wonder
destroyed
how much,
the boat.
What happens? Do they charge you for that, too?
Oh, absolutely.
There's got to be some costs that
absolutely.
Are incurred.
They had to call a tow company out to do
it.
Oh, yeah.
A wrecker, and all that. Yeah. And those are expensive, man. If it gets to that point.
They probably had to crane it. 40 foot is a big boat.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, That's pretty crazy, man. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. Everyone walked away.
Well, it sucks. The guy, you know, you've been to Florida. You know what it's like down there. Exactly. Everybody has boats.
Absolutely.
So this guy, it sucks. I mean, that's, and a 40-foot boat's not one that you typically tow around. They usually,
yeah,
they usually put those in a slip and let them sit. So he was probably moving it to a different slip and probably destroyed the boat.
Yep. So, all right.
Those goons wrecked my boat.
Boats and hoes, man.
Boats and hoes, baby. Right, boats and hoes.
Next one here. Headline reads, police in Kansas pull over driver going 149 miles per hour.
That's go to jail.
Yes. Oh, anything over 100 triple digits is felony stop.
Anything over double the speed limit is the officer's discretion in most states.
Most felony stops are guns drawn, usually. So.
Oh, yeah. If you get pulled over, see what's our speed limit here in some of our highways is 75.
Man. Yeah. So check this out. On March 23rd, police pulled over a driver in Kansas for going 149 miles an hour. City of Overland Park, Kansas, police clocked the woman's vehicle on Sunday going 149 miles an hour on I-435 near the U.S. 69 highway, which is more than double the legal limit. Police pulled over and issued a citation. The officer asked the woman, "Do you know how fast you were going?" And in response, the woman said, "When I looked down at the speedometer, I was doing 128 miles an hour."
Does it say what kind of
car? Talk about an admission of guilt, man.
Well, they probably got her on radar. Oh,
there's no way you
can
skate that, yeah.
What she'll have to do is get a lawyer.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely.
And
that is a felony, so.
Well, you could probably lose your license over that. Mm-hmm. Did it say what kind of car she was driving?
No, it didn't. But it's Overland Park Police tweeted a message describing the incident, warning drivers to slow down. And in the tweet, it said, "We are still enforcing the speed limit on I-435. This driver told the officer, "When I looked down at the speedometer, I was doing 128. When the officer locked her vehicle speed at 149 miles an hour, and it shows a picture of it on the radar gun. So that's a definite you.
Well, I would never have said that. I mean, when the officer
when
the officer would ask me like how fast you were going, I would have said, "Don't you know?" Mm-hmm. Because there is some way to fight the radar tickets.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go in there and you know
it was out of calibration. Well, this thing's wonky.
That used to work back in the old days where they could clock trees going 60 and stuff. But I think they got the technology down pretty good right now in these days.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's one of those things where. But I would have never came out and said I was going because she's admitted it now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Now you knew they will use that against you. Now you knew that you were going
128 miles an hour.
She could come back later and say, "Look, I thought, you know, she might be able to negotiate it down to a reckless driving exhibition."
She's
of
lucky
speed
she didn't get arrested. Usually that's what happens.
It's at the officer's discretion.
No, totally.
They don't arrest everybody.
I've
seen a guy get pulled over on a street bike one time when I was out riding mine that got pulled over up by Red Rock there.
Yeah.
And the cop pulled him over and took him to jail.
I was like, dude.
Now, I didn't see like if it was for speeding or maybe the guy had a warrant or
something.
That could
be it too. Yeah, you never know. But moving on to the next story here.
Terrible.
This is March 24th, and I know you're going to take some interest in this. And actually, my mom sent this one over to us to kind of talk about. Headline reads, "Website offers $1,000 to binge watch all 24 James Bond films." So on March 24th, a culture website is offering $1,000 for a James Bond fan to watch all 24 official films in the 007 franchise to celebrate the upcoming release of No Time to Die.
Number 25.
Yeah,
I could do it, but I don't have access to all of them.
So here's the thing. Nerdbear.com, a nerd culture website.
No kidding.
Right. you're not lying, right? said it's seeking someone to watch all 24 James Bond 007 films from 1962's Dr. No to 2015's...
Spectre.
Spectre. Prior to the September 30th release of No Time to Die, the 25th film in the franchise.
I'm excited about that.
The chosen
movie.
Candidate will receive $1,000 and a $100 Amazon gift card to rent the movies and a $50 AMC gift card to go see the latest film.
Do you have to sit through the whole 24 of them in one setting?
The delay of No Time to Die from April to September 2021 has disappointed many James Bond fans.
Oh, absolutely.
While we wait for the release later this year, we thought it would be fun and pleasant distraction from COVID to offer this opportunity to a movie buff. The website said the person will be asked to watch all 24 films in 30 days and complete a worksheet.
Oh.
The application, which is available online through April 16th, asks candidates to explain why they are the right James Bond for the job.
Well, I'm going to have a little trouble doing that.
So, hey. You know,
I just like to have $1,000.
One thing I thought was really cool is we saw the Valhalla, the car that's going to be in the James Bond supercar. Blondie actually had that.
Yeah. Like
if you don't follow her YouTube page, go check her out. Hey, and while you're at it, go check us out. We're on YouTube too.
So. Yeah, the supercar Blondie is badass.
Yeah, but she did check out the new James Bond car, and it was pretty amazing.
Oh yeah. It's too bad they didn't have they didn't make the trip out here to Barrett Jackson this weekend.
Oh, it may have been out there. So much crazy stuff going on out at Barrett Jackson this weekend.
Usually they bring stuff like that out.
We could do a whole show on that. We probably will in the future, but we'll get into the topic of the show.
We didn't make it this year, so.
Yeah, we'll get into our topic of the show here in a little later. We got a few news stories left here. The next one, though, headline reads, Scottish Island for sale with opening bid of $111,700.
It's in Scotland?
So check this out. March 19th, an auction house announced an entire 11-acre island in the Scottish Highlands will be auctioned online with a starting bid of $111,000. Auctioneer's Future Property said, Deer Island on Scotland's west coast is a space that can be enjoyed with zero chance of intrusion. Excuse me. Property manager Stephen McCluskey said the island is being sold for the first time after being owned by the same family for the past 500 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so the closest island, Eileen Shanoa, something like that, is owned by Vanessa Branson, sister of British businessman Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, yeah.
So isn't that the guy that Virgin and all that? Yeah, that guy's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's got a crazy life there. He rides a hot air balloon around the world or something
Bring
that.
Bring back Virgin Record Stores, dude. Those fucking kick ass.
Well, you got the Virgin Casinos now in Vegas. You know, it's the old Hard Rock Hotel.
Yeah, it's true. But they use that as a business, and the other island's getting bigger and is significantly bigger. So Deer Island, by comparison, is as underdeveloped as can be. It's rocks and trees, really, at the moment. There's nothing on it. Never been anything really built on it. So... it's been completely uninhabited for 500 years.
I'm curious to see what it brings.
That's what I'm saying. So they're expecting it to sell for $200,000 to $280,000.
God, you would think it would bring more than that.
So the auction was 2 days ago. So I wonder what happened. I wonder what it brought.
I mean, I don't know. Like, it probably doesn't have power to it or anything.
If somebody knows, let us know. Send us an email or something. Shoot us up. Hey, check us out on social media, too, man. We're on Facebook at In The Round AZ. Lee's on Facebook at Lee Tonin. And I'm on Instagram at Andrew Taylor Radio. So if you guys know any other tidbits or got any stories you want us to cover or anything, let us know, man.
Yeah, give us some suggestions.
We got one last story here in the news segment before we go to our first break. And here's the headline. A $1 million winning lottery ticket was in the winner's vehicle for 2 months.
Did he make it by the deadline?
March 16th, a Kansas lottery player said that their ticket for the Holiday Millionaire raffle sat forgotten in their vehicle for more than 2 months before they discovered it was a $1 million prize winner. The Osage County resident, who wished to remain anonymous, told Kansas lottery officials that they only bought one ticket for the 2020 Holiday Millionaire raffle, but bought it early enough so it would be eligible for all three early bird drawings. In the winner, this is his, in his words, said, I made sure to check my ticket after every early bird drawing, but forgot about checking it for the final drawing. It was only until today that I saw it in my vehicle's console and thought I'd take it in to check it along with my scratchers.
Oh, cool.
Scanning the ticket resulted in the player being told to contact lottery officials in Topeka. The player called the lottery office to check the prize amount and discovered it was the grand prize.
Oh, how cool is that?
They're like, man. Dude, can you imagine just being on the phone line with them?
Oh, and hey, you won the grand prize.
Yeah,
man.
So they literally told him, sit down, before they told him he won $1 million. They told him on the phone, you need to sit down.
Good. That's a good story, man.
So, and he said that he was in complete shock and
you know, I do that all the time, too, because I don't buy a lot of lottery tickets. I only buy them when they get, like, really, really big.
Real high, yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever they call it. What's it called? Mega Millions?
Or
what's the other one called? The Powerball?
Yeah.
You know, because we're in Arizona here. We play on all the syndicated ones.
Yeah.
And so I only buy them when they get up over like $300 million or something. And then when I don't hit, when they say, hey, nothing's hit, I just kind of forget about it. I probably have thrown some winning lottery tickets away. Probably not, though. I don't.
You never know, man. I mean, you know.
I don't know.
Especially here in Arizona, everybody plays it. You never know.
You know, they've had some big ones hit here lately, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there was one that hit for like $8 or $9 million.
Your best chances of hitting are right after the huge ones hit, because everybody stops playing it. So I think the odds of actually hitting, you know, are a lot better.
Well, maybe we, instead of buying ones for the big, big payout ones, we'll start buying ones for the day after or whatever. Yeah. You know, just think if you won that, dude, you'd be like, yeah, the guy before me won $300 million. What'd you get? $4 million, which is still cool.
Oh, man.
But it's a far cry from what it was.
Yeah, it's pittance, yeah.
Yeah, but you'd be like, oh.
All right, really? Ladies and gentlemen.
That's what I get?
Yeah. Really? All right. We're going to head to our first break. It's a short little musical break. Hang with us, folks, and we will be right back. Welcome back, folks. Thank you for hanging in there throughout the break. And let's get right into it, man. The Just the Facts segment. And today, our Just the Facts segment, like as with most other shows that we do, is related to the topic that we are going to be covering today. And I just want to say, we're kind of revisiting a topic here that we love, and a universe that we truly do love, and that we are fans of and have followed for a very long time. And we're revisiting this because this was actually our second episode that we ever did with this show back when we started in the very early days of the pandemic. So
back in March of 2020.
Yeah. So we're actually talking about Karate Kid and the Cobra Kai universe.
Back to the universe of the Karate Kid.
You're the best.
Oh, you're the best. Never gonna take a day.
Check it out. Here's the thing. Lee's a huge fan of Karate
Kid. Huge. I've based my whole life on it, man. Right.
And we did a very... The second episode that we ever did was about Karate Kid, the Cobra Kai universe. So we're calling this one Karate Kid and Cobra Kai Universe Revisited.
And we didn't do any... we didn't give any spoilers. And in this show, it's going to have spoilers.
Now, yeah, just heads up.
If you haven't seen everything by now, you're a loser.
You've waited too damn long.
Loser.
But, come on, guys.
Weirdo.
Get it together. Get your life together. But anyways...
Get your life together. If you can't be here by 10:30, you're getting a burger.
But here's what we're gonna do. The Just the Facts segment is all Karate Kid and Cobra Kai facts.
Okay.
And this is I don't know any of these. This is kind of a lengthy one, so this one's gonna run a little longer for us this time. So, and it's broken down into different sections, okay? So the first ones we're going to do here are all related to the very first Karate Kid movie in 1984.
The movie number one.
Yes.
The Karate Kid.
Yes, the Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid, it's related to that. One.
Yes. It says these are all facts for that.
Facts just for the Karate Kid.
Number one, yes.
You got it.
All right. So,
number one.
First things first, though. Here, just to clear something up here, and it's probably going to sound stupid because I've watched this for years, too. Is it William Zabka?
Yeah.
Or Zabka?
I think it's Zabka.
Okay, Zabka.
Good, you can say it any way you want. He's not going to show up.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not listening. So
he may be.
Anyways, William Zabka actually kicked Ralph Macchio on accident during the filming of the Halloween dance fight scene, which caused production production to stop for a day and a half.
So you actually got a wallop on him.
He actually got hurt. So. Yeah, pretty interesting, you know.
Well, that's the scene where...
You wonder if that was a slip-up or...
Maybe the guy, really, William didn't like Ralph too much. But dude, I'm assuming that's the scene where after Daniel causes a commotion at the dance.
You know, which in theory here was...
Let's not go down that hole, man, because we're going to start a whole new thing here,
it's
man.
It's true, though.
But I'm just trying to think of the scene where he got hurt. It was probably the scene where they're kicking the crap out of him.
Yes.
And
out by the chain link fence.
The very first time Miyagi beats the heck out of...
Shows up on peyote and kicks everyone's ass.
Yeah, Miyagi's all dusted out on PCP and comes out there and jumps some students is what he does. Anyway,
we're kidding. It's just jokes, folks.
These are not
we're jokes. Not serious.
Our lawyers want you to know that.
Oh, Bob's gonna kill us.
How much that cost us, Bob?
Anyways, next fact here. Producer Jerry Weintraub, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's how you say that.
It is Weintraub.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did not want Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi originally.
True story.
Morita was known for his comedic roles on Happy Days and Sanford and Son, and as a comedian in general.
Stand-up comedian.
Yeah, exactly. The Hip Nip.
That was what he was called. He was the Hip Nip.
Oh, back in the day.
You could get away with that.
Jerry didn't want a comedian for the serious role, basically. But Morita also suggested he use his real first name, Noriyuki.
Noriyuki, yeah.
In the credits to improve authenticity, to appease...
Yeah, it was Noriyuki mm-hmm. Pat Morita.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy. I never knew that.
I like that, just to go just a little quick venture off of Santa Ana Street here.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that. But can you imagine anybody else? I know we talked about it on the first rendition of this podcast.
As Mr. Miyagi.
And just to take a few seconds, not too much time. Mm-hmm. But you got to remember, what was it, 1982? Four. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's think of
83.
Okay, stuff, well, let's look at some of the people that were popular then.
Very popular.
Who could have done it?
Mm.
Christopher Lloyd?
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Danielson, I need you to wax on or wax off. Who else was popular? Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
was
that's a big, true.
You're gonna have to wax on or wax off.
I'm trying to think of who else was very popular.
No. You Stallone? Don't lose to fear, Daniel. You gotta lose to the opponent.
I don't think so.
No, it wouldn't work. Schwarzenegger?
because that's the thing, man. Is it had to be somebody older.
It had to be somebody oriental too, more than likely.
Imagine Tom Bosley as Mr. Miyagi.
No, he wasn't making movies in the 80s.
You never know.
Daniel, I need you to go down there and so what would have been, but like I said, I always wondered that, or I always wonder that about roles, especially movies made in that time period, because of all the different characters. Because if you remember, if you're old like I am, mm-hmm. in the 80s, through the 90s, there was a handful of actors that basically did everything.
Oh, totally.
You know, they just
Danny
did.
DeVito, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That would have been badass. I didn't even think about that.
You gotta wax on. You moron.
You moron. Yeah. Dude, that actually probably would have worked.
Danny from Taxi.
Yeah, Louie from Taxi.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Danny DeVito.
DeVito. Yeah. But you know what? I'm telling you. That would have worked. I'm thinking it would have worked.
I don't know about that.
Oh, he was pretty good, man.
Moving on to our next factor. This is the last one for the first movie.
Like that.
For the first movie here. So, Ralph Macchio actually did all his own stunts except the bike hillside scene where he got pushed down the hill, right off.
Yeah, it was a pretty brutal crash on the bike.
Well, yeah,
what was the dialogue before they pushed him down the hill?
I don't remember.
You want to learn karate, Daniel? First thing you got to do is learn how to take a fall.
Yeah. And the other scene is where he jumps over the car fleeing the Cobra Kai outside the dance. He didn't do that scene either.
Yeah, then the car crashes. He mm-hmm. caused a goddamn car accident.
And then bailed.
Yeah, and he split. And never
he's liable.
Again, yeah, and
that's
never,
the problem with this guy. Ever since
he's
he was
never
a kid.
Been held responsible.
Yeah, never liable for his own actions. I'm just saying.
Let's not go down that path.
Moving on to Karate Kid Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
These facts are going to get really interesting here. Yeah, My mic would quit moving. That would be great.
It's dancing.
It's moving on its own. It's got a mind of its own. But anyways, following the huge success of the first film, which grossed about, on average, $130 million.
It's a lot of money. I bet that movie
in 1984.
Didn't...
But guess what? Guess how much the budget was, the original net investment.
What it cost
was.
To make it?
Yeah.
I'd say $25
million. $8
million. $8 million, huh?
And it made $130
million. Yeah, well, there was nothing in the movie. There was no special
That's
effects
the thing,
or anything.
Yeah. No, it was all
And
you
I
know.
Guarantee they didn't pay him anything.
Probably not, because nobody really was of huge fame.
They probably had back-end deals where they're like, if the movie's successful, we'll give you more money.
And realistically, Ralph Macchio, he had done some work and stuff, The Outsiders and shit like that,
but
nothing.
He wasn't
a
big draw.
Same with Pat Morita. He had done Happy Days and stuff.
Yeah,
but it
he
wasn't
probably worked
like,
for scale.
You know, yeah. So
I bet he didn't make over. I bet Pat
Elizabeth
Morita
Shue was a kid, too. So who you know? What
yeah,
I mean?
There's nobody in there. That's I mean, there's nobody in that movie.
No, she actually left the franchise to go back to Harvard and all that.
Is that why she didn't get
part
up here
of it,
in the
yeah,
second?
Part yeah. Of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, she's had a good career.
Oh,
since
absolutely,
then.
And she's definitely had, especially one lately.
Yeah.
So that first film, like I said, grossed $130 million, $8 million to make. Columbia Pictures rushed into production on a sequel 10 days after the first film, which was released on June 22nd, 1984. The second film was released June 20th, 1986.
So it took two years.
Two years.
Makes sense.
Yep. But 10 days after they released that film, they went right into it.
And they didn't go into production this. Or they would start writing it?
They started going into production.
No shit, so they already had a script and everything done?
And here's the thing. Here's the next fact that I had on that, which is really interesting, is writers and producers were at odds in the very beginning with the direction of part two, what they were going to do with it, because it was a battle between whether to explore Miyagi's homeland or to focus more on Kreese's revenge. But they figured to save Kreese's revenge for the later one.
Good idea.
Yeah, so there was actually some actual conflict between writers and producers.
Okay, yeah, so they were thinking, we want to bring Kreese back on the second one.
They were butting heads between
them. And they were like, no, let's do a backstory on the old man and show where he came from and did all that.
Yeah, and I never knew that. Yeah.
You know, because you know what, Andrew, now that you say that, now that that's brought to light, you could have done it the other way.
Oh, totally.
You could have done Kreese's Revenge as the second one and done part three.
Did you know Kreese actually hurt his hands, too, in those parking lot scenes?
Well, he actually punched those. That guy's actually he doesn't wear like gloves or nothing. He's a real everything. He's really doing it. It's real. He's real, dude. John Kreese is real. He's not an actor, dude.
That's really him, dude.
That's really
he really was in Vietnam.
All that stuff they did. Rambo movie too.
You listen to these Facebook groups, and that's how these people actually talk.
These guys
talk.
Are off their hook, man.
Not to you know hurt any feelings or anything, but it's true. Yeah, you got to remember, these are fictional characters.
I've been in some heated arguments with these people. Well, there's one called. It's the Cobra Kai world or whatever the
whatever it is.
And I'll tell you, these people are nuts. But with the so and so's father is his brother and Tori's father. It's horrible. Yeah.
The endless possibilities.
It makes it just not kind of
crazy.
Yeah,
but moving on here to our next fact, our next one here. We're gonna the last one of part two. So
okay.
Karate Kid Part 2 outgrossed its predecessor, making it the highest grossing film in the franchise. I don't have the numbers in front of me here.
I heard it did better than the first one.
So, which is kind of crazy, which kind of sets us up for part three, which is very interesting to go here.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Oh, I guarantee you do. So,
this is the stuff I hate.
As with most good things. And part three is not a bad movie to me.
They roasted it.
But here's the thing. Critics did.
Yeah, they roasted it.
What do critics know? Okay, listen.
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. As with most good things, most great things have terrible reviews and stuff. To me. But, you know, most bands and stuff, movies.
Critics are just an opinion, man.
So, with that being said about part two being the highest grossing film, we'll lead into part three here, our segment on this. Part three, the least favorable in the franchise, and also the lowest growing entry to the series, $39 million total, you know, on total revenue, $39 million on its release. But it cost $12.5 million to make.
I bet it's made all of it back, though, man.
Oh, I'm sure at this point.
In DVD and all
that
stuff.
But initially, that's what they look at.
Now, just to interrupt you for a second here and to shed some of my opinion on this. If I ranked the Karate Kid movies, I would rank 1, 3, 2 as the movies.
I get what you're saying.
I loved part three.
I thought Terry Silvers was a good bad guy.
I thought he was the greatest villain in any of them.
Yeah.
You know, just because he was intense, man.
Yeah. He had a cool place.
Yeah, and he was.
Which is also an actual, like, historic building.
It's a real place. In all fairness to the people that dislike the movie, I understand where they're coming from, because the movie has got a lot of plot holes.
Yeah, it's very corny.
It's got a girl character, a love interest.
We'll get into it. Watch. Okay, so here we go. So that was released on June 30th, 1989. So a little years after.
Okay, yeah.
So Robin Lively, stated that Ralph Macchio was extremely difficult to work with on that movie and often would show up late and trash the script itself and stuff. So kind of like the papers you can hear in my hand right now.
He probably didn't like the whole idea of it. And, you know, not to mention the fact I read, if you don't have this down there, that she was only, what, like 17 or 18 years old?
He was 27 or whatever.
Yeah, so they were trying.
Kind of weird.
I think that's kind of why they shied away from any kind of.
Well, here's the thing, too. And Ralph Macchio later admitted to being unhappy with the script for the movie. And so this wasn't what I thought it should be. And here's another interesting fact, and the last one we have for part three, and I thought this was very interesting and kind of funny to picture it in your mind when you really think about it. So we all know the character Mike Barnes, played by Sean Canans.
Yeah, from Veronica.
He was in Glenn Danzig's Veronica, too. His audition, he had to beat out 2,000 actors to get the role. you know, in his initial audition.
Yeah.
When he got called back for a second round of auditions, he was a huge fan of the franchise, and actually he even said he'd seen each movie 10 times and all that, and was a huge fan.
He was the right age, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Makes sense. And he wanted to add to the, you know, be a part of it to add to the franchise. So he took his audition to the extreme on the second round. He wanted to make an impression on Ralph Macchio. So he began intimidating Macchio into a corner. And he also expressed his desire to reprise the role on Cobra Kai recently.
Oh, yeah. They've talked. Yeah, I've seen him come out publicly and say he wants to be on it. He's going to be.
Which, to touch on Cobra Kai briefly here before we go to our next break, or our next musical break, is Cobra Kai is at 3 seasons now.
We're at the end of the 3. We're all baitedly waiting on season 4.
And which that's the crazy part about the show, which I haven't really seen a show in a few years here now that's really been like this. That's kind of and the thing that really blows my mind about Cobra Kai in general is it started out on YouTube Premium, which we started watching it initially.
And we were YouTubers.
Back on May 2018 when it came out, you know, you could get it on there and we started watching it on there. And then it kind of I don't want to say it went away, but it kind of died down and on a simmer for a little bit, and it fucking out of nowhere when Netflix picked it up, it got
a lot more exposure.
Exactly.
And then also, but you have to give YouTube credit for where it's due.
Totally.
Is they put the initial investment into it and got it going. And I knew it was a hit from the first time I seen
totally.
It.
Oh, totally.
The first season I seen, I said, this thing's going to be huge.
We binge watched it from that point on. Totally.
And you know what? They're not the first ones to take that idea and do it.
No, totally.
You had Lethal Weapon
do
it.
It's a nostalgia thing, yeah.
But you were telling me the other day that the Mighty Ducks are gonna
absolutely
follow down.
Emilio.
Emilio. And you know what? And people in my age, you know, my age group, I think we're called like the Generation X or whatever, you know, they want to see their old heroes, man.
Everybody
they want to see, you know,
does.
We're losing
it
all our...
It happens all the time.
All the people from the
and it was happening back in the day, too.
But all the people from the generation prior to us that we all loved, you know, are all dying, man.
William, the guy that plays Johnny, almost didn't want to reprise his role. I'm not 100% sure why, but I had heard that initially.
Probably didn't offer him enough money.
That's the thing with most things. It's like, you pay me enough, I'll do it.
I'm curious about that now, too, of how much their salaries have went up since the success of the show.
You know, the guy that plays Hawk? His mohawk takes about an hour each day before filming.
That's not real, right?
So, they say it's real.
Oh, is it? He's actually got the mohawk?
That's what it says.
Huh.
There's also rumors that Hilary Swank might reappear here line. And I could see it happening.
Jackie Chan,
maybe
too.
Maybe not as a constant character, but... I think the whole YouTube to Netflix transfer was probably the best thing that could have happened to that show and that series, and I'm glad to see it's actually the popularity of it.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Are we through the facts now?
Yes. And
so,
yeah.
Okay, so we're going to kind of freeform on the Cobra Kai now?
Yeah, we're going to go to to our short musical break, and we'll be right back with the rest of the topic today, Karate Kid, Cobra Kai Universe. Stay tuned, folks. We got more here for you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for hanging through that break. And let's get right back into it. Lee, I'm going to throw it to you. Karate Kid, Cobra Kai Universe. Where are we going from here?
Okay, well, I'm going to start off, not to rehash and defend the third.
He's really upset about
telling
this.
I'm you right
man.
Now, that third listen, movie was a good
listen,
movie.
Listen, damn it.
But this all ties in my weird way here. The first season of Cobra Kai...
I'm not finished. Give me the mic, Joe.
Give me the mic, Joe. I've got the straw. It's my turn to talk.
Yeah. The old days. You get to roll them up.
The first episode was, or the first season of Cobra Kai was Johnny and Daniel getting back in their lives.
Yeah, which was cool. That's the thing I think about the first season of Cobra Kai, which was cool, to see where they both ended up. And like, one of the weird things is, how was Johnny so out of touch with technology and stuff?
There's a lot of holes in the
there
story
is.
There.
They're very much
they,
so.
They play him that way where he doesn't know what a computer is.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's no way anybody even his age, because he's, what, in his 50s.
Yeah.
You know, he would have to have some knowledge of
something.
Yeah, of something.
And he installs smart TVs on the wall and shit like that.
You're right.
So he would have
to know. But anyways,
like any show.
Well, they dumb down his character so it plays down to where, you know, he's got the kids that help him, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So if he was like a computer whiz, they would have no use for Miguel or whatever, you know? But, you know, his life took a bad turn.
No, totally.
But the first season of Cobra Kai they kind of followed the first movie in this trilogy. We're going to call it the trilogy because the Hilary Swank movie was an additional movie.
It really
movie.
Is, yeah, yeah. And I don't want to knock, and that's
no,
the thing.
I don't mean to knock it.
We said this in the last episode that we did on this, is that we don't want to discredit any of this.
And no, hey, and whatever your thoughts are on
them. If you're a fan of the series, it's highly recommended that you go back and check out our second episode ever was on this subject because it's very hilarious.
Yeah, it's got some good scenes. It's got some good
very
stuff.
Very popular episode of ours.
But like I said, the first season of Cobra Kai kind of follows in the footsteps of the first movie.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
And then the second season of Cobra Kai, it's kind of like off on its own adrift there. They kind of go through their actions there.
Very true, you know.
And then towards they build
stuff
up.
Stuff gets
they
a little
build,
messy.
Well, and they build up to the big fight at the end.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where, you know.
I just got to say, though, too, and I kind of, I know people agree with me on this. I kind of feel like, yeah, like Daniel kind of was kind of the problem at some point in this.
Well,
too.
The adults in general were
both totally because you got to remember, you guys are holding on to a grudge from back in the day. Like this is
But you have to look at it like this too: is the grudge between Johnny and Daniel is still there in the second season?
Oh, totally.
You know, it's still a rivalry.
It's but it still kinda some bad
blood. It kind of changes over to Miguel and Robbie and Tori and
it's
Sam.
Vicariously through them.
Well, it does. But it stays. It's still the whole rivalry in totalitarian aspects is Miyagi-Do karate
exactly.
against Cobra Kai.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of
good
here's
versus
some spoiler
evil.
Alerts here.
Yeah.
At the end, John Kreese takes Cobra Kai away from Johnny Lawrence.
Like a snake that
he just
always
comes
been.
And takes it
yeah,
from him.
Yeah.
So when the third season kicks in,
that guy makes that character.
He's the best.
You love to hate. You
he's
know?
The
it's
best.
One of those
and
situations.
You know what? With the third season coming in, it kind of follows the path of the second movie.
Absolutely.
Because they go back to
that's
Okinawa
true.
And
that's
all that
true.
Stuff. And so the only reason I'm telling you this,
they kind of mapped them out the same. Like, hey, we're going to take this template
with us all waiting for the fourth season to come in. It really has no other way to go unless they go completely off the reservation on something.
Yeah, absolutely,
it has to follow. Because you have the All Valley event coming back up, and the third movie was
Terry
all about
Silver.
The All Valley event again. So now, what are you going to do? You know, they've got Cobra Kai back into the event.
And I knew this was going to come up on this show because, like, we're going to more so talk about Cobra Kai now on this part of the show, this leg of the show, because it's the most recent thing going on.
Yeah.
It's new and stuff. So here's my thing with Mike. I think Mike Barnes is going to come back. And I think Terry Silver will be back in some facet.
They both are.
One thing I really liked about this previous season is how they touched on the actual Vietnam stuff and showed some cool back. Like, that's the stuff I want to see.
That's
the background on Kreese and all that.
That's going to be heavy in season 4 too,
yeah,
I guarantee it. Because
exactly.
what's going to happen is this, because if you don't understand.
They got renewed for like two more seasons.
Oh, yeah.
Too,
they're
so.
Going to do 5 or 6 seasons.
And then after that,
there's not going to be any reason
to. They have to stretch this stuff. So
even the guys on the Cobra Kai social media platforms are like, oh, they could do 10 seasons. It's like, you really can't, dude.
No, it's going to run its course.
Yeah. Because it's doing it now after the third season.
And
it's getting redundant.
Well, and what I'm wondering is. After this fourth season, is the big showdown going to be, you know, because they're teaming up and they're going to beat Cobra Kai? And is there going to be a new one to come in that they have to...
That's the million-dollar question, is who's going to fight who?
Or is Cobra Kai going to win? And
that's the whole thing. Is it going to be Tori and Sam in the All Valley?
Yeah.
But the thing that you have to realize that the writers have done with this series...
Oh, it's great writing. I got to be honest. Sometimes it gets a little corny, but it's expected.
But what the writing premise of the writing is on this is what they call redemption.
Yes.
So everybody's going to go through redemption.
Oh, totally.
If you look at it,
most
Daniel
characters
and Johnny
are trying
join forces now.
Hawk, trying to make right.
Yeah, they're trying. They're not going to. They're going to have, because it's always a story of good versus evil.
Totally.
But what's going to happen now is you're going to say it's just different teachings is what it is.
Yeah.
Because Miyagi-Do karate is for offense.
Yeah.
Or for defense.
Mm-hmm.
And Cobra Kai was strike first. It's offensive karate. So now that they're going to combine the two together, which is called Eagle Fang,
mm-hmm.
you know, with his dojo, because Miyagi-Do is or Cobra Kai is still on its own with Kreese, Robbie, and Tori
exactly.
in it now. Now, they're going to have to, they've got some characters that they're going to need to bring back in season four.
I think that's what's going
to
happen.
She is going to have to come mm-hmm. back because she left on
yeah.
no kind of a thing other than, you know, her parents moved.
Yeah.
And then you also have Stingray.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you remember the big white older guy's going to have a role because he was popular and people are asking about him.
I guess.
But like I said, it's going to have to go down and they're going to have a bigger role for the kid, for Sam's brother.
Probably.
There will be.
Probably.
Because they're going to have to, he's going to have to come into the
He's trimmed down and all
well,
that.
Well, he has, the actor has lost weight. And you got to think, it's been, when did they start doing this? In 18 and we're in 21 now.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years since the first season.
He's older,
So it's, you know, these kids are all getting older. But like I said, I think season four is going to have to follow
mm-hmm.
the path of the third movie. So if to
it
do
makes
that,
sense, yeah.
And people say, well, no, Ali's going to be a full-time. Ali
no,
was a one and done.
She's not coming back.
Chosen was a one and done. And that's the way they should leave it. There's no reason
Which
for him to come
back. Which makes sense for those characters. Same with what's her name from number two? I'm drawing a blank on her name.
Kimikyo.
Yeah. She's not coming back.
No,
they
no,
did
no,
that.
That's all done. And to me,
and they got all that out of the way, which is good.
Yeah, and the Chosen thing I thought was one of the greatest episodes because
that was awesome.
Because it was neat the way he came off.
And he was cool and all that.
And then he taught him the paralyzation that Miyagi never taught him.
Hey guys, we warned you.
Oh yeah, this is full of spoilers, man. And then what was really neat, what I really got a kick out of about the Chosen episodes in season three
mm-hmm.
was my favorite character next to Terry Silvers out of the whole Karate Kid franchise was Sato.
Oh,
I love Sato because Sato had a great backstory. Yeah. Sato was predestined to marry Kimikyo in an Okinawan, and he screwed it up.
Dick move and then coward move.
Yeah, and so exactly. I mean, I don't care what you think about Mr. Miyagi. I love the guy. Don't get me wrong.
Hey, for all the good shit he does in the movies, 100% true. Nobody ever sheds lights on this. He totally pulled a bum move, dude.
Yeah, it was a bad. It was a bad person move. So as much as high and mighty as that guy went about his morals or whatever.
He didn't have any then.
Just my opinion. But like I said, I don't see any other way that they can do season four of Cobra Kai without following some storyline from the third Karate Kid movie, which everybody says is so terrible.
When you lay it out that way, it's like their template that way.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, I'm not saying I could write this stuff, but I could probably add to it.
Yeah. No.
You know, I mean, it's just common sense.
Well, every fan has their theories on
and
it.
As far, and would say, let's say we get through the fourth season mm-hmm. and we get all that and however that turns out, it would make sense that somewhere down the line
mm-hmm.
you could actually bring in Hilary Swank, because if you remember, if you've ever seen the next Karate Kid, according to the story in the movie was that Daniel LaRusso
mm-hmm.
was off at college.
Yeah.
While Mr. Miyagi was doing whatever he was doing, he got hooked on to this girl. And it's not a bad movie. It's not
yeah,
the original.
It was later, yeah.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, like I said, the story had a lot of plot holes. But mm-hmm. like I said, they could, as far as bringing Jackie Chan and the Jaden Smith into it, I don't see how that would work.
So that's where you see the series headed.
Nah. I don't see it. You know. I don't see him bringing them into it. No,
but you see it headed more towards like part three.
Yeah. Well, this season.
Yeah.
The fourth season coming up, which who knows when it's going to come out. I mean, I think
it takes about a year to do.
I think they said they wrapped up filming because, you know, they film it in Atlanta.
Well, both. They film it in Atlanta and Los Angeles.
Yeah. So I think they're done. I think they said, according to the social media sites mm-hmm. that I'm on, they say that, you know,
I hope Mike Barnes makes an appearance and Terry Silver comes
think
back.
I don't think there's any way you can do it. I mean, John Kreese was talking to the phone.
Has the actor that played Terry Silver done anything in a long time?
Yeah, he's done other work. I mean, not much. And Mike Barnes has done other work. The guy that played Mike Barnes.
Yeah.
But I think those two characters
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to try to write, I don't want to try dialogue or story premise about them. But I think that you're probably going to have one of them, probably Terry Silvers, who's going to hook up with, he could become a reoccurring character.
With Kreese, yeah.
But I think Mike Barnes will be like a Allie. I think he'll be a one and done, come in and say, and then do you guys rip me off last time?
Yeah.
You know? In fact, I'm going to join the
in
Cobra
real life,
Kai,
he's actually, the Miyagi. In real life, at the time when he auditioned, he was actually a green belt.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he had some kind of you know, training, and I'm sure the other guys all do too, of some kind of whatever they do to do the stunts. I'm sure they have to learn that, you know. But Elvis had a black belt.
Well, you know, I've seen his videos.
Hey, check it out, man.
Looking good, King.
Look good, King.
Yeah, right
but
on.
No, like I said, and then what I'd really like to see happen. Well, first of all, you have to go to the end of season three when Kreese is on the phone. He goes, it's been a long time.
Exactly.
Who's he talking to?
It could be anybody.
Well, 99% has to be Terry Silver.
Yeah.
Which in season three.
Old war buddy.
Also, when they killed the kid in the, you know, and then you have the whole thing that comes about his girlfriend dying in the car crash. People are saying, the his staff sergeant or his platoon leader or whatever lied to him.
Exactly.
I don't think any of that's going to come to light.
No, I think she's dead, yeah.
But I see, like I said, the way they write with the redemption as being their kind of
thing.
Their self-realization, redemption being their kind of their thing.
MO, yeah.
Their method of operation, yeah. I think you're going to see Kreese like maybe come to Jesus kind of terms or something.
He's getting older, he knows.
Well, maybe somebody will, you know, kind of get through to, you know, maybe he'll realize that what he's doing is not right.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody like Mike Barnes will come in and take Cobra Kai over, you know, and say,
Terry Silver.
You know, or Terry Silvers may come in and say, hey, you know, this, what you're doing is wrong. What we're doing here is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and he may be like, you know what, you're right. And come on, John, let's go back and I'm going to give you a house in Tahiti or what like they did in the second one. Whatever, to get some off, you know. And then you could have somebody like Mike Barnes come in and say, hey, Cobra Kai's not done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys owe me money. You know, give me the dojo for the money you owe me from the deal that you didn't.
He's doing the same shit.
As far as we know, they never opened all those
other
dojos,
ones, yeah.
You know, like they were going to in the third one. They were going to open them all over the valley, and he was going to get half of it. And then he got, you know, he lost in the tournament.
Yeah.
So nobody cared anymore, you know. So that's kind of the way they ended it. So there was never really a part four to the Karate Kid. There was the new Karate Kid that came next.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Which didn't follow any of the previous storylines.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't know what happened
exactly
after part three. So you know what? You could use season four or five in Cobra Kai to say this is. They'll have to say what happened after that. You know,
yeah, totally.
To make any sense in the story,
it has to flow.
Continuity into the story. Yeah,
it has to flow. So, what are your final thoughts before we get out of here, man?
I'm looking forward to the new season, like everybody else. Season four.
Absolutely.
I've enjoyed the first three seasons. If you haven't seen them, check them out. They're well worth seeing. I love the Cobra Kai Nation. And I wanted to ask you something here, just real quick.
What's that?
If you could see, I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, with you were telling me about the reboot in the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen any of the Mighty Duck movies. I just never
they're
have.
Big I'm not, movies,
I've
yeah, never from seen the 90s, them. Yeah.
But I know they've been, I knew they were popular. I'm not saying nobody's seen them. It's just myself, I haven't seen them.
Emilio.
And they're from the trailer.
He's coming back. He
well, the trailer you
a while.
Showed me from it looks a lot like Cobra Kai.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so exactly. I'm just wondering if you could take a couple movies. Like, you know, even they don't have to be from the 80s. It can be from whenever your time period in your
movies
life.
Movies or anything.
Movies. Movies that they made that they could turn into a reoccurring television series like they did with Cobra Kai and Lethal Weapon. And they've done it with other stuff. Charlie, you know.
See, I don't know if it would be a movie, though, because what I'd really like to see is a Rockford Files reboot.
Ooh.
I'd really like to see that.
Not a movie? A reboot of the Rockford Files?
Of a television show, yeah.
Just go straight to a new character? Or,
well, no. Same James Rockford and all that.
Like
same
a
background.
Or?
No, same background and all that and everything. Just get a, you know, reboot it.
So just
somebody.
Reboot it from from current times, though, right?
Yeah.
In the 2000s, now.
It could be, yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Not try to go back to 1978 or whatever.
I think it'd be cool. You'd do it either way.
You'd
cool.
have to do it
but
current.
If you did it current, I think it would be really cool. Cause
who would you see playing Rockford?
I don't know. That depends.
If you had to cast him right now, Sean Penn.
No. It would be.
He could do it.
You know, it depends. James Garner's hard to replace. We could do a whole show
what?
On that.
Joking around, Sean Penn sounds like a joke. I bet Sean Penn could pull it off.
Probably.
You know, he was kind of a big dude. He's kind of a, you know, a you know, that's not, you know,
I don't know.
He could kick in a little bit of his Spicoli kind of, not go full Spicoli, but just a touch of it.
Yeah. You never know. But I don't know, man. Movie-wise, it's hard to think of. I mean...
How about MASH?
You know, that's
reboot
cool.
of MASH.
That's funny. It'd have to be in that time period.
You could do it in the Iraqi War or whatever. Yeah. You know, one of the wars that we've had more recently. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. Totally.
The Middle Eastern conflicts that we've had.
You totally could, yeah. But you could do that with anything, you know. Terminator. I thought that was cool. They did a TV show, but the reboots of reboots.
That's kind
of
sci-fi.
Hollywood does
anymore.
Yeah,
but see, but that's the trend that things go on.
Oh, it's all nostalgia.
So I'm just trying to think if you were going to try to reboot a television series out of a movie.
Hey, why don't you guys let us know and hit us up?
Yeah, let us know.
You let us know on social media. They can find Lee on Facebook at Lee Tonin.
I'm on Instagram too.
Are you?
Yeah, you have to show me how to look at it though.
All right. We'll get on that. We'll get him more on Instagram. But you can find me at Andrew Taylor Radio on Instagram. Give me a follow. And find the main show page at In The Round AZ on Facebook. And then you can always find us, man, on any podcast platform available. Just look up In The Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee, and you'll find us. We also have a YouTube channel we want you to check out. Go there and subscribe. Check us out. We always put up funny clips and whole episodes. Full episodes go up on there, too, as well. So check us out, man. And Lee, you got anything you want to say before we get
just
out of here?
Just one quote from one of the movies.
What's
here.
That?
Walk on left-hand side of the road, you're okay. Walk on the right-hand side of the road, you're okay. Walk down the middle, squished like stone.
Yeah, there you go. All right, folks, thank you for tuning in to another episode of In the Round with Andrew Taylor and Lee. Take care. Have a great night. We'll see you next time. Thank you.